Back in 2008, Customs and Border Protection began a project to modernize its H-60 helicopters. It converted two of those rotorcraft in 4 years at a cost of more than $22 million each. The Coast Guard, which operates basically the same airframe, performed the same overhaul on 27 helicopters at less than a quarter of CBP's cost, but the two DHS components never coordinated their efforts. And in a separate audit released last month, the department's inspector general found that while some DHS components were facing shortages and breakdowns of radio equipment, others were storing thousands of units of unused radios in warehouses, partially because equipment inventories are not reliably tracked across DHS. Congressional and outside overseers view those examples as symptomatic of a federal department that is still struggling to centralize and harmonize its oversight and management of acquisition programs and policy, although they acknowledge DHS has come a long way since it absorbed 22 separate agencies a dozen years ago. And department officials say they've been busily implementing best practices from industry. Raphael Boris, the Undersecretary for Management, who doubles as DHS's chief acquisition officer, says the department does have a formal centralized acquisition management structure, including the two-year-old Office of Program Accountability and Risk Management.
This enhanced oversight has resulted in 136 acquisition review boards, 250 acquisition decision memorandums. These are specific decisions that are a result of those acquisition review board meetings, which result in specific actions that the programs and the components must take in order to proceed. We've canceled three major programs and have paused eight. We've also required the change in leadership in many programs as well.
The Government Accountability Office and the department's own IG say DHS has indeed checked all the right boxes when it comes to creating policies on management and oversight, but consistent implementation and execution is another matter. Michelle Mackin, the Director for Acquisition and Sourcing Management at GAO, says all too often major acquisition projects are missing important features at their outset, like an approved acquisition baseline.
This represents the program manager's agreement with the department about the cost, schedule, and performance parameters of a program. And this is important because it allows DHS and Congress to track progress and hold programs accountable for outcomes. We reported, however, that many of the major programs lacked approved baselines. Last year, we reported only about a third of 63 major programs had approved acquisition baselines. This situation doesn't put the department in a good position to effectively manage its acquisitions. It also complicates efforts to track cost and schedule growth. As was mentioned, we reported last year that 16 major programs had 166% cost increase over 3 years. That equates to about $30 billion. But perhaps more important was that we couldn't make such an assessment of many more programs because the underlying data wasn't valid.
Auditors have also found cases in which acquisition policy directives from headquarters appear to have been circumvented or ignored. For instance, in the case of the helicopter modernization, the department's chief procurement officer warned CBP's Air and Marine Office that it needed to come up with better cost estimates, define a period of performance, analyze other alternatives, and present its formal plans to DHS's Acquisition Review Board. But CBP moved ahead with the project on its own anyway, signing a contract with the Army to perform the work just a few days later. Again, Raphael Boris.
We've had our challenges with the Office of Air and Marine, and part of the issue that we've had to deal with is that that program had never been organized into a comprehensive procurement program like, for example, in the Coast Guard, which has a complete organized acquisition program for the identification, for the development of requirements for their ships and their aviation. So we're dealing again here with a legacy issue. Also, the Air Marine organization has a hybrid program where they acquire certain assets and then they acquire hand-me-downs, if you will, from the Department of Defense. So it's a very fractured, unorganized program. So what I have done is I have directed the Office of Air Marine to appear before the acquisition review process and structure its program to meet our requirements. They have not in the past done that. That is a fact. I acknowledge that. That's why we have now required them to come before and not proceed with any additional acquisitions at all until that's done.
To stop future instances of what one lawmaker called rogue behavior by lower-level DHS agencies, Boris says the department is also installing its own acquisition executives in each and every DHS component.
The oversight of acquisition can't be done solely by headquarters. not just the corporate responsibility. Every single component has to share in that responsibility. We simply don't have the people or the personnel in the headquarters environment to provide oversight for every single transaction in the department. We have over 90,000 transactions on average in a year. We have created the position of what we call component acquisition executive. These are individuals that now sit in the components that are assigned by me. They sit there, and that is now our eyes and ears. They are responsible now. They have the responsibilities to perform component-level acquisition oversight. It's in their performance plans that they're responsible for doing that.
Boris testified at a House Homeland Security Committee hearing designed to examine lessons learned by the private sector and the Defense Department that DHS could incorporate into its own activities. Boris says the department is eager to embrace lessons from other entities, but he argues it's a bad idea to compare it to any one department, since Congress doesn't oversee it or fund it like a single department, especially when it comes to procurement.
I think it's important to note one very significant difference that I'd like to put on the record. DOD, by and large, have unified procurement accounts. So when they spend money on procurement, they reside in procurement accounts, and they're the same pretty much across the board. We don't have that in DHS. We don't have a unified procurement structure. It would be of great value to us because some of our procurements reside in salary and expense accounts. Some of them reside in O&M accounts. We don't have a unified account structure in the department. I know we've asked for that from Congress in the past. There is no central repository for DHS funds for procurement. And in the absence of good financial management systems, which I think my friends would agree, it's very, very difficult, unlike my friends in the private sector, where I come from, where we had the ability to pull asset information, financial information, have unified information. We don't have that. You know, can we harmonize the procurement accounts, which would allow us and Congress, quite frankly, to have a better look at where we're spending our procurement dollars?
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.